Hey, Ohio, are you on?
I am on. I'm on a footpath to faith. What about you up there in Wisconsin? Are you on a wayward journey to... never mind. you're on a slide through the snow, or
we are freezing in fidelity. I don't know. I'm just
there. You
I'm
go.
Really good at this. I feel like we both have our roles, Rick.
Yeah. Sorry. I'll stop trying to change yours. I just want you to be like me, Josh, you know?
Hey, man, I want to be like you. So we're in agreement. So have you ever had a nickname that stuck?
Well, that stuck. thankfully, I've gotten past all of them. But yeah, man, when I was a kid... my last name is Schallenberger, so I mean, all through grade school, I was called Hamburger, you know, and or any kind of derivative to that, or just Burger or Booger, you know. Or but yeah, the ones that stuck were usually adults would call me Ricky Ticky or something like that. It's like I just drove me nuts. Yeah, but yeah, my wife's nickname was Squirrel, and. She doesn't appreciate it when I call her that. I get it. It's a nickname. Come on.
Yeah, come on, Squirrel. I mean, does that have a backstory?
It's her brother named her that. Who knows why?
Okay.
So. Yes, their backstory. Yes, and you can't hear it.
Okay. All right. All right, then. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was, you know, I always wanted one. And I'd always be like, you guys call me this. And they'd be like, yeah, whatever, Josh. Shut up. You know, like, it never lasted very long.
You don't deserve a nickname. Man, you're poor. You had a horrible life.
It was hard. It was hard. But so the only one that ever adhered with any sort of staying power was when I had hair, which is hard to imagine now. It had a lot of body to it, so I had this, like, my hair would just poof out, and, you know, it kind of looked like the head of a Q-tip, or, you know, kind of like an ice cream cone. I was always just skinny, lanky guy with this, you know, kind of Caucasian afro hanging off the top of my head. And there was a Spin Doctor song called Biscuit Head. And it was this very catchy song, and I still have friends from 30 years ago who call me Biscuit.
Wow.
And I love it. I love it. It was the only one that ever stuck. And it's yeah, I don't know. For that, and there we go. That's my Gen X reference for you. That's
the Spin Doctors. And I like that because that's a nickname that you liked, and it, like you just said, you still like it when they call you that.
I love it.
And I think that's what's cool is I love nicknames that kind of bring out a nice emotional response, you know. Yeah. That just warms my heart to hear that, you know. I don't think I've had one of those.
Well, that's, and part of it to me is like, you know, those, the best nicknames, some of the best ones are the ones that are poking the ribs.
And
Biscuit Head was. It was just like, yeah, you have a gigantic head. And I was like, yes, I do. I might as well embrace this. You know, I've been made fun of it for my entire life, and here I am in college, finally feeling comfortable in my own skin for half a second, and here's my gigantic head and my flannel shirt and all my Gen X stuff that was going on.
That reminds me that I used to get called Four Eyes a lot because, I mean, when I was a kid, not a lot of people had glasses. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you get picked on for having glasses. And I laugh at that because my two granddaughters are 7 and 9, and they love the fact that they have to wear glasses.
It's so cool.
Because they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't like, cool back then. Yeah.
What happened? I want some of that.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
no, I like the concept of you're talking about poking the ribs, though. Yeah,
they are like the, you know, real big guy whose name is like Tiny Smith or whatever. You guys know Tiny Smith, and he's just turns out to be this enormous football player, you know. Or, you know, a real tall guy or really short guy who's called Too Tall Jones, you know, like you have like, wow, I know Too Tall Jones. He's 4'11", you know, is he in here? I can't tell. Look down, you know, like,
You know, the Dallas Cowboys had a player, Tootall Jones. I can't remember how big he was. I just remember that Chicago Bears had Refrigerator Perry.
Refrigerator Perry, absolutely. Yeah. And he was just a chunk of a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, especially like famous people who get those nicknames. I mean, those are cool.
Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba.
The Black. You know.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I'm afraid I won't know any sports ones.
Yeah, sorry.
It's pretty lost on me. That's why I watch them in my home. I live about a half an hour from Lambeau Field, but on game day, I live about 3 hours from Lambeau Field. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So did you know that Jesus had a nickname for his disciples?
No, I did not know that.
Which is...
What do you call them? Complainers?
Yeah.
Whiners?
No, he seemed to dole out nicknames. I mean, you have...
Yeah, he did.
Peter, who's, you know...
The Rock.
The Rock. And... You know, he was, that's a nickname like Rocky. Like for us, it's very serious. Yeah. You know, we just put this on a mosaic. Yeah. He was called Cephas, you know, like, and it was just like, no, it is a nickname like Rocky, like,
you know,
like Tootall Jones. And then, James and John, the Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
I like
the part in The Chosen where, you know, they want to call fire down, and he's like, he's kind of giving him a lecture, and then he says, "I'm going to call you Sons of Thunder." And then he says, "Well, or we could just call fire down." And they look at him, he goes, What, too soon?"
Exactly. It's the humor, man. So, this one, a couple of verses for you. Matthew 6, verse 30. Says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then Matthew 8:26, and he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Matthew 16:8, but Jesus, aware of this, said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing amongst yourselves the fact that you have no bread? So what's the recurring phrase?
You have little faith, and until you started talking, I looked at this as a more of a correction.
Right.
But now I'm thinking you might be changing my mind on that.
So it translates, you know, and translation, and I forget who this was. One of the church fathers said, reading the Bible in translation is like kissing your wife through a veil. Which I thought was a beautiful way to say that, you know,
you're almost there.
You lose some of the polish, some of the luster on it. Now granted, I read the Bible in Greek all the time. So that, you know, I get that. And I don't that at all.
Yeah. I choose Aramaic.
Oh, you choose.
I mean, you Greeks, you've translated some of this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yep. I the closest I can get to that is if I see two languages side by side, I can tell you which one is Hebrew and which one is Greek. I cannot tell you what they say.
Is that only because the Greek goes from left to right and Hebrew goes from right to left?
Don't give away all my secrets, man.
Oh, sorry.
This isn't geocaching confessions.
And that's the extent of what I know about the languages.
So the recurring phrase is "O you of little faith," and in Greek it's "oligopoistoi," something like that. I'm sure I'm butchering that. And what that is little faiths. So it's not this long phrase that we take as kind of a cold, very hyper religious sort of thing. "O you of little faith," you know, how could you not step on the water? Well, yeah. I mean, why would Jesus come at that with judgment? You know,
and
so what it really is a poke in the ribs nickname is little faiths. So you bunch of little faiths.
I like that.
Yeah. Like, hey, guys, you're just a bunch of little faiths. And hey, you little faiths, jump on the boat with me or jump on the water with me. And we'll go from here. And it seems to be a phrase that possibly Jesus just made up, because I don't know that.
Yeah.
Occurs elsewhere in classical literature.
I like it because it fits in with who we know him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, I mean, here he is, he's a God who says he so loved the world that he came. And his whole thing is love others as I have loved you. And so why would he be constantly poking at their weakness? You
right.
know?
Right. Right.
So,
I think, yeah,
that makes sense. So in other words, it's a term of endearment rather than a term of judgment.
Right, it is. It's endearment. It holds within it sort of a reminder that they need to grow.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like, you know, at the end of whatever, Peter was martyred and crucified, and when he finally died on that beach or wherever he was, that Jesus greeted him with, "What's up, little faith?" he used that as that. And I think that's who we have to remember what the center of reality is and who we're really dealing with here.
Josh, because how many times does he say, "Do you not understand who I am?"
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it fits right into that. Little face is like, "You're getting there. You're getting there."
Yeah. Yeah. You're on your way. It's coming along.
I like this.
And it's coming along in a sense of like encouragement, just a little bit here and there. It's on its way. He doesn't say you have no faith. He doesn't say you lost a bunch of sinners.
Yeah.
He comes in with sort of this fun hybrid nickname, and I think we have to remember that that's the voice of God, right?
Yeah.
That's the voice of God, and that Jesus reserved his coldest, sharpest words for the religious elite, the established people, and the aristocracy of authority.
Who were putting burdens on the people, who were doing the exact opposite of what they were supposed to be doing, so there was reason for that.
Yeah.
So I like this because it kind of fits into this concept that I have of Jesus being just a real caring person, but also with a kind of a cool sense of humor. I remember I saw one movie, I think it was the Matthew tapes, years ago, some organization put together the Matthew tapes, and it was the book of Matthew acted out. And I remember the scene where he's on the Mount of Olives and he's talking about, "You talk about that splinter in somebody else's eye," and then he picks up this huge beam. He says, "Isn't it, you got this beam in your own eye?" And everybody laughs.
Right.
And I thought, that's a cool way to look at that. He's making a very obvious, you know, comparison. So it makes you laugh, but you get the point.
Right.
So there's a sense of humor there. I like that.
Yeah, we think of Jesus inside this timeless abstract ivory tower where he sort of said these esoteric things and then like disappeared back into the mist. Which is in exactly the opposite. Where, you know, I think if he walked up to us at the mall, it'd be hard for us to pick out who he was. He wasn't floating around. He was picking up on the cues that were around him, and what he was in was a kind of a roughneck, blue-collar culture where you spoke to people with nicknames, you spoke to people with familiarity, and you spoke to them with love.
Pax Humana.
Cheers.